Chapter 28. Is everyone ready back there? Derek asked over the intercom from the cockpit. Everybody okay? Irene asked while standing in the doorway to the cockpit of the Buzzard. Her Buzzard. Not as her personal property. It was close enough. The Ruhar were allowing her to continue flying it with Derek as her co-pilot. Derek wanted to get back to flying chicken gunships, or Dobras, as he called that fighter aircraft. Until he fully recovered from his injuries and was ready for a qualification flight in a Dobra, he would keep his flying skills fresh in Irene's Buzzard. Irene just wanted to fly. Anything. Anywhere. Hauling passengers and cargo back and forth between Lemuria and Tenturo was fine with her. I'm ready, Major Perkins said, settling back in her seat. She would be going first to UNEF HQ to meet with General Marcellus, and then probably with General Nivelle, the UNEF commander. Marcellus had a lot of catching up to do. Her debriefing was not going to be quick. She suspected, hoped, that her farming days were over for a while. Paterna Lagellia had offered her a position as the UNEF intelligence liaison with the Ruhar. That would require moving to Tenturo. That would mean living amongst Ruhar rather than her fellow humans. Perkins wasn't sure what she wanted yet. The point, she reminded herself, was that she had a choice. She had possibilities now. All the humans on Paradise had a future. The Ruhar were in charge, and they weren't leaving. Early that morning, before the sun rose, she had walked outside in the cool air and saw sunlight shining off a Ruhar battleship in orbit. It was a big damned thing, and there were more on the way. Discovering projectors on Paradise had not been the only surprise, nor the most important. The Ruhar had found some type of incredibly valuable Elder artifact in the process of investigating the projectors. She had heard there was an accident with one of the artifacts. Rather than discouraging the Ruhar, it had spurred their determination to keep the planet and uncover all its secrets. Ready, Dave Chaika said. He and Jesse were also going to UNEF HQ first, and then, who knew? He couldn't imagine going back to farming and chicken ranching in the tiny village of Fort Rakovsky. The Ruhar had offered Dave, Jesse, and Shauna positions working with the Ruhar military. They would be acting as security while the Ruhar finished activating the remaining projectors. That project was scheduled to last a full year, and after that, the three of them would be training more humans. It was, Dave thought, a great way to see the entire planet. Cornpone, Dave asked to his friend seated across the cabin. Are you excited about seeing Fort Rakovsky again? We should at least stop by the place. Jesse hesitated, risking a quick glance over at Shauna sitting next to him. After a budding close relationship while they were being held by the Ruhar, Shauna had been all business while they were flying around, digging up projectors. They had both been exhausted pretty much all the time, and there had been zero time for privacy. Whatever hopes Jesse had for a future relationship with Shauna, he needed to give her space and let her take the lead. With almost 5 men for every woman on Paradise, women had many options if a guy was a jerk. What do y'all think? He asked the question to Dave, but was watching Shauna's reaction. I thought you guys were worried about your hooch, Shauna asked. Come on, Jesse, you have to go back and check it out. Oh, yeah. Jesse's expression brightened. Hey, you should come with us, he said, and instantly regretted the joke. Why not? Shauna laughed. Are you sure? Jesse's heart leapt in his chest, not daring to hope. Sure, Shauna said quietly, while gently touching the back of Jesse's hand with a fingernail. I have to see this famous couch you guys are always talking about. Flying Dutchman. When we left Paradise behind, I was ready to break out the champagne. The Ruhar government had announced that negotiations were officially off. The Ruhar were keeping Paradise. UNEF HQ had offered to declare loyalty to the Ruhar, and the Ruhar government was willing to discuss the possibility. The keepers among UNEF were upset, but in my opinion, those idiots could go screw themselves. Maybe I was being too harsh. The keepers didn't know what I knew. They didn't know what the lizards had done to Earth. They didn't know anything about Earth, because we can cut off access to our home world. To the keepers, I guess they saw continued loyalty to the Kristang as their only possibility of ever going home. They were going to be disappointed. When we left Paradise behind, I was ready to break out the champagne to celebrate our successful effort to create a secure future for UNEF. Publicly, I was elated, triumphant. Privately, leaving Paradise was bittersweet for me, for everyone who had been stationed there. It was bitter for Chang, and for Sims, and for Jiro. It was doubly bitter for me, for Adams, and Desai, because while Chang, Sims, and Jiro had remained aboard the Dutchman, the three of us had gone down to Paradise. Desai and I had gone down there twice. We had breathed the air of Paradise. We had experienced the scent of its jungles and forests. We had flown low over its well-tended fields. And we were hopefully never going back. More than hopefully, we were planning never to go back. We were leaving behind friends and comrades who would never know we had even been back there, who would never get a chance to leave the alien world. At the end of our mission, we would be going back home to friends and family on Earth. UNEF's mission was truly over, but they were never going home. I hope the people of UNEF worked out their differences, accepted that Paradise was their home now, and created a good life for themselves and for their children. Humanity had a chance to create a second home now. I very much hoped that they didn't screw it up. I have to admit, sir, I told Chotek without regret, that I was wrong. If we had not gone to Paradise, we would not have rescued UNEF. I thought it was unwise for us to investigate the situation on Paradise, and I was wrong about that. Colonel Bishop, Chotek said with a smile, your reasons for objecting at the time were valid. You almost had me convinced. You were correct that learning the situation on Paradise would not have done us any good if we were not able to do anything to assist UNEF. What you were not correct about was your lack of faith in the ability of your team and yourself to create a solution. You have my sincere congratulations, Colonel. I have to admit, it felt good to hear Chotek say that I did a good job. Hopefully his report to UNEF Command on Earth would say something nice about me. When I suggested that we break out the champagne to Chotek, he frowned and reminded me that our primary mission was not complete yet. Sir, I tried to keep the irritation from my voice. We have successfully completed an important mission. People need to blow off steam. Celebrate a little. Colonel, I am concerned that if we get back to the relay and hear bad news, the memory of a party now will be bitter. Sir, respectfully, I disagree. If we hear bad news at the relay, it is all the more important that morale be strong for whatever we have to do in the future. A celebration now would be a great boost to morale. I'm a soldier. I know how soldiers think. People need to celebrate victories along the way. My argument was persuasive, or Chotek was also eager for a taste of champagne, because Major Sims received approval for a big party. Instead of one team doing all the cooking, I ordered that each team provide one dish. Sims coordinated that so we didn't end up with all desserts and no pizza. We did have pizza, provided by the French team, and it was delicious. The next day was downtime for everyone. A lot of people had hangovers. Not that I know what that is like, although I've heard about it. Skippy appreciated a break from our jump-recharge-jump cycle so he could have his robots perform some heavy-duty maintenance. After a well-deserved day off, it was back to routine, and we proceeded back to our personal relay station at our best speed. We followed our set procedure for approaching the relay station, jump in far away and send decoded signal. When the submind pinged us back, we jumped in close. According to the submind, it would be 4 days until the next ship passed by, so Chotek approved allowing people to go aboard the station in small groups just to get a change of scenery. I planned to ask Skippy if there was an uninhabited planet somewhere along our route back to Earth. The merry band of pirates needed to get off the ship once in a while. Other than a couple of us going to Paradise and the raid on Jumbo, the crew had not set foot on land since we left Earth. At the relay station, Skippy had a conversation with his submind. Oh, Skippy mumbled. Interesting. What? I asked hopefully. You have good news for us, right? The Theranin are not sending another ship to Earth? Huh? Oh, no, they are most certainly not. That is good news. The Krestang inquired about a second mission, and the Theranin responded with a price the Fire Dragon clan cannot possibly afford to pay, nor can any other clan. The issue is dead, Joe. The Theranin will not be sending a ship to Earth. That is for sure. Whatever I was going to say next was drowned out by thunderous cheers from the merry band of pirates. Most of the crew was crammed into the bridge, the CIC, or the corridor outside. The news was so welcome that Chotek pumped a fist in the air and then offered me a high five. I slapped him back. "People, we are going home," Hans Chotek exulted. "Mission accomplished." Skippy said quietly, and I motioned for people to calm down for a moment. "What is it, Skippy? The Therani will not send a ship to Earth, and the Kristang can't do that, right? So Earth is safe now." "I can give you a resounding yes to the first question," Skippy announced. "How about the other? Well, he paused. "Not so much." You have been listening to Paradise, Book 3 of Expeditionary Force, produced by Greg Lawrence, Associate Producer Emily Durr. Text copyright 2016 by Craig Allenson. Production copyright 2017 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved. If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.